Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Orioles taking on the Blue Jays tonight. Scheduled to 7:05. Sagano taking on Bowden Francis. We talked about that. Orioles 2-4 on their latest road trip through Kansas City and Arizona. They lose Zach Eflin. Albert Suarez, we haven't really talked much about this, Ryan, and Nolan, get in here, and of course you, the people at 410-583-1057, you want to vent, you want to walk us down, whatever you want to do, talk about your Orioles sitting here at 5-8 through the first 13 games of the season, but I guess the shoulder issue, much more severe than the Birds anticipated, 60-day IL, he's going to be out, and I believe Brandon Hyde said, out on the road trip, months. Perhaps. And boy, given the other issues they've had, I guess a healthy Suarez would have fit in nicely somewhere.
Well, he was that Swiss Army knife, right? And especially what's concerning is how quickly then it changed from, oh, put him on the IL and then transferred to the 60 day. Usually when that happens, yeah, you're right. You don't have to read between the lines. It's pretty severe. So, you know, it's one thing that you lost Eflin, but you're right, having a guy that can do both. We talked about this before. Not everyone's comfortable with saying, hey, you know, in this case, Albert, need you in the bullpen. Hey, actually, spot start, can you do that for me?
Right.
It's a really hard thing to do for a pitcher, and that's definitely a big blow for the staff here. It's one of the many pieces that they're trying to put together.
Right, I mean, he had 130 innings for the Orioles last year, and there's really no realistic reason to believe that he was going to duplicate that, but to give you at least a fraction of that would have been great for the Orioles this year, and now I don't even know if you can count on him to come back. I mean, he'll be here at some point, but, you know, what's he going to be like? I mean, it was already a long shot, even if he was healthy, for him to kind of replicate what he did last year, so it just felt like they were letting it ride with him. You know, you hit big time with the gamble last year. It was a low-risk move, and it paid off big time. And they said, oh, let it ride. It's low risk. It's low cost. Why not? And, you know, it fizzled out. So,
yeah, I mean, this is the crazy thing with pitchers nowadays, too. This is why, again, a role like Albert Suarez, it's not glorified. You know, the only position that is valued or that fans really give the praise and the blame is being a closer, right? That's like the role in the bullpen where you go, man, that guy, that's the face that you remember. Let's talk about in Baltimore, the Mountain. When Batista closes games, there's a different energy about that. But then fans started to appreciate him. But over those times, he's not in Baltimore anymore. Danny Coulomb was a guy that, hey, fans started to love him in Baltimore, but that was a faceless person in the bullpen. That's what Albert Suarez was. And you ride that out because you don't know what's going to happen. That's why so many relievers know and bounce from place to place, is because, yeah, it might fizzle out. And if you're not one of those premier end closers, then you really are expendable. And for Albert Suarez, why not ride it out? But clearly, it took a toll on him.
Yeah, here's another point real quick with the bullpen. I mean, them moving on from Coulomb, them moving on from Jacob Webb, some people were a little confused by that. Mm-hmm. My initial reaction was the same in the offseason. And I said, well, okay, if you replace them with two more guys, then all right, we swap two for two, you're good. Well, they made one notable addition with Kittredge. If you want to call Bautista's return the other addition, okay, that's a wash. But it felt like Elias was banking on, well, we squeezed every last bit of juice out of the orange last year with Jacob Webb. Had him throw a career high in innings, and he started to have that injury flare up at the end of the year. Maybe the same with Danny Coulomb, also an injury scare last year. It felt like he was saying, all right, these guys are on the verge of getting hurt. I'm going to drop them. Meanwhile, pick up a guy in Kittredge who's coming off of an injury a couple years ago who should be taking off. So far, we know the results.
Yeah, Kittredge this year's a knee, though.
Yes.
It was Tommy John, I believe, in Tampa, right? Wasn't it?
Elbow? Yeah. Tommy John in Tampa, the knee, obviously, unfortunate circumstance. The one thing I want to say with Coulomb, you know, this has been something now over the last couple years. It's really at the end of 2023 is when he got hurt, right? Or right towards the end of 2023, came back for the postseason or towards the stretch run. Then last year missed a lot of time. And I guess in this case, if you have a medical staff and they're going through physicals and they're saying, hey, we don't trust this, if you brought these people in to be your experts, you got to take their word for it. But I'm with you, Nolan. The one guy, I like guys that know how to get outs. And when, later at the top of the hour, I have a clip from Jim Palmer when he sat down with me. Danny Coulomb was a guy that just knew how to pitch. What's the name of the game? Just get guys out.
I mean, you like the fancy 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, and it looks impressive and all of that. Oh, by the way, Danny Coulomb got a 0.0 earned run average. You know, he hadn't pitched a ton of innings, 4.2. But, you know, when he's called upon to get people out, he gets them out and doesn't give up any runs. And I guess the connection would be, well, CNL Perez isn't getting anybody out, so why is he here and Coulomb isn't? Not saying that, but CNL Perez, by the way, is part of the problems with the Orioles. But, you know, I understand where Nola was coming from because he went on that rant earlier today.
Yeah. Well, you know,
why'd they get rid of him again?
Real quick, profile-wise.
How
hard does Danny throw? How hard does Perez throw?
CNL high 90s,
Danny, maybe 91, 92, and that's a big thing. They chase the ceiling of what the player potential can be, and that's why they kept CNL. And look, I love the talent of CNL, but if we're talking about guys, who do I trust? I'm in a jam. Can you get me out of it? I think we'd all say it'd be Danny Coulomb because why? He's proven it. I don't care if he throws 91 or 98.
Hey, he was that leverage guy. Missing him last year was a huge, I mean, they had a ton of injuries, but I'd probably put his name towards the top of the list in terms of order of importance or guys you wish you had back, just because, especially with Bautista out. I mean, he was an eighth inning guy. Had he been healthy at one point, I think he could have been in contention to take over for Kimbrel when he struggled. So that was very detrimental.
When we come back, buy or sell, we're going to count some weekend money. Hopefully, we'll see how volatile the stock market is and talk about sports subjects heading into this weekend. Then at 12:30, we're going to get into this Orioles offense again because of all the disappointing things so far. That has to qualify as number one. And if you look at run production, they're, 11th in the league in runs scored, but it's 12, 9, 8, 8, 5. Then the rest are 3-1-2-0. So who's going to bust out? We know who's capable of, but who's really going to take it to the next level? And who maybe could be someone we're not really counting on to supply some offense that might be somewhat of a...
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hero here.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Benny's off today. He'll be back on Monday. Unfortunately, Penn State fell short. Made it to the Frozen Four, however, which is a great accomplishment. And we'll talk about that, obviously, when we get back on the air next week. Nolan, of course, is on the other side of the glass. Tons going on. World of sports, last weekend of the NBA season. NHL season's in its final few days. Four games left for the Caps. Maryland is doing all sorts of thing in the portal. And baseball. We're 3 weeks in, and the Orioles still looking for... They haven't won back-to-back games yet, have they? I don't think so.
No.
Haven't won a series. We know that. So
that we do.
They're due. But, you know, we like to get festive on the weekends. Maybe some crustaceans could be in the future. Watch out for that gout in the toe, like I've been dealing with all week long. But it is what it is. Let's count some dough by ourselves. Where's that money at?
All right. I got green here.
Yeah.
I got green. That's stunning for me. Dow Jones here up 181. NASDAQ up 126. DraftKings, though, down $1.20, and Under Armour, well, they're also down, but only 16 cents. As far as the sports topics, we'll start in the NFL today. Some draft news coming out of Pittsburgh. Steelers bringing in Shedeur Sanders for a visit this week. Now, we know they need a quarterback, so this alone isn't really a massive surprise, but for him to still be available at pick number 21, that might be a surprise. We also know that the Steelers remain interested in Aaron Rodgers. Higher-ups in that organization were talking like that was a done deal just a week or so ago. Buy or sell, Bob, the Steelers' reported interest in Sanders is less about the incoming rookie and more to nudge Rodgers to actually put pen to paper.
I will sell that. Maybe there is some intrigue looking for a long-term answer at quarterback. I mean, this guy, Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, he seems like kind of a lightning rod. Like, he's a guy whose stock is dropping. Some mocks have him going late in the first round. Mel Kiper Jr.'s got him going 9 to New Orleans. So I think there could be some intrigue here, but Pittsburgh trying to get over that playoff hump. They haven't won. You talk about the Orioles haven't won a playoff game since 14. They haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. They get there, and that's nice with their 10-7, and get the bleep out of here in one round. Maybe Aaron Rodgers in the immediate gives them a better chance of actually doing some damage in the postseason, assuming they get there. Because I see the Ravens number one, and then Cincinnati gap, and then Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Good luck with all that.
Over to Major League Baseball, an interesting roundtable column here from the MLB writers at CBS Sports, talking about Aaron Judge's Hall of Fame trajectory and why is this coming up. Well, it's not just Yankees bias, maybe a little bit, but he completed year 10 of his career last year, which means he is eligible for the Hall of Fame if he were to retire today. So they posed the question, if he did retire, is he in the Hall of Fame based on what he's done through 10 years so far? Now, remember, we had these conversations around Mike Trout when he was at his peak. Year 10 for him, he already had 3 MVPs. Aaron Judge has 2. Plus the AL home run record. That doesn't hurt his case either. Now, the group here, the writers, they're split. Only 2 said yes to him being in at retirement today. Ryan, are you buying or selling that?
I'd buy that he'd be in, to be honest. Just because, look, if we're going off of greatest players during a specific time. And usually you're going to say a decade of time. Now, Aaron Judge, would he be a first ballot Hall of Famer in this case? No. But if you're going by the 10 years, a guy that's accumulated 321 jacks, and remind you, he missed some time, whether he's had injuries here or there, he has been one of the best players. Two MVPs helps his case. You mentioned the home run record. The Silver Sluggers, being the captain and face of the Yankees. I think that sample size alone for 10 years, if you're going to say over a decade of time, who was one of the best players during that time? I don't think you can put three players ahead of Aaron Judge over the decade that he's been in there as a hitter. Like, I can't even put... It's the same conversation when you have with Mike Trout. Could you put three players better than Mike Trout over the decade of time? So if we're doing that, I'm with Judge being in, but it always helps the case if you do a little bit more.
All right, a little basketball here, NBA. Walter Clayton Jr., well, he was regarded as likely a second-round pick for most of the season, but after a heroic run through the tournament, capped it off with a national championship, things have changed quickly for him. Now you'd be hard-pressed to find someone saying he's anything but a day-one pick, but how high? Shooting skills, that'll play at the next level. NBA scouts will like that. Combine performance will probably determine a lot for him next month. But buy or sell, Bob, Clayton Jr. will end up being a lottery pick when it's all said and done.
I'll sell that. But talking about that dog and all of that stuff that Keith brought up with Texas A&M, Buzz Williams bringing in, and something we'll get into with Ryan next hour or next segment. Caller said the Orioles don't have any dog in them. Like, if they get plunked, everybody just kind of rubs it and puts some dirt on it and gets to first base. Best time to show off is in the tournament. Derek Queen will be a lottery pick because of what he did. But Clayton, a little smallish in size, but not a great three-point shooter, first-team All-American, most outstanding player. And not only did his offense carry them, maybe the most explosive offensive team college, but ultimately it was a defensive play that helped win them the championship. So I don't know lottery, Nolan, but definitely helped his cause to be a first-round draft pick.
Right, I mentioned the combine there because I always think back to Kevin Herter. I mean, he wasn't considered anywhere close to going as high as he did, but he went crazy at the combine, couldn't miss from three. People fell in love.
Yeah, if he has like a 48-inch vertical leap, put him right there in the top five. Mm-hmm. And then he's Allen Iverson all.
All right, last topic here of the day, talking about the Orioles. Cedric Mullins, well, he's swinging a hot stick right now. Small sample of games, but I think it's safe to say this is the most comfortable he's looked in a few years. He admits, though, that the career highs of that 30-30 season back in 2021 almost played against him in the long run. The idea of chasing those numbers year after year, probably not the most realistic thing for him. But if we want to revisit 2021, not just the 30 homers, not just 30 steals, at 37 doubles, a career high 5 triples as well. So collectively, 72 extra base hits, not too shabby. Well, so far this year, 3 homers, 3 doubles. He's on his way. Buy or sell, Ryan, 30-30, maybe not realistic, but over 60 extra base hits. Are we buying or selling that?
If we get a healthy Cedric Mullins the whole year, I'll buy it. And the biggest reason is of, you mentioned with Seti talking about dealing with expectations after 21. He was that face coming out of a brutal year at 21. And he had one of the best seasons, individual seasons in Orioles history. And then Seti's been dealing with personal things that some have he's talked about, others he hasn't. And talking to him going into this year, clear mind, body feels good, and you're starting to see the results off the jump that he's able to have success. Nolan, I'm not saying he's going to hit 30 jacks this year, but I think that he can push for 25. I think Cedric Mullins is just one of those guys that if he can stay on the field, that's been the hard thing for him. If he can stay on the field for full 162, I think we're going to see him eclipse that number.
When we come back, we're going to look at the Orioles' offense, individual players after the first 13 games of the season, how offensive projections may have changed. For instance, I had Mountie hitting 33 homers. I might be walking it back a little bit. Still think 25, 230. Maybe he'll have a 9 RBI game tonight against the Blue Jays like he did 2 years ago on this very date against the Oakland A's. Hey, look, Adley Rutschman hit 2 home runs on opening day. He hasn't hit one since. the Orioles since opening day as a team. They hit six. They've hit six in total since then. So offensive projections for the players based on what we've seen so far. Is it even fair to get into this thing? And Ryan Ripken, do the Orioles have any dogs on the team? Adley Rutschman, home run number one. Then he got real frisky, hit another one later on in the game as the Orioles got medieval on Jose Berríos and the Blue Jays that day. Six homers to start the season, as we've detailed many times, maybe to the point of frustration with some of our listeners. Since that opening day outburst, they've hit six home runs as a team. They've hit two since last Thursday, set against the Red Sox, and of course, O'Hearn Monday against the Diamondbacks. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Get in, vent. Get in, tell me to shut up. Do whatever it is you want to do. 410-583-1057. But Adley Rutschman, after that opening day bust out, hasn't homered yet. Only one extra base hit, a double. Right now, hitting .267. And look, I'm not sitting here saying that he's been an absolute disaster. But we go back to last season. Second half in particular, Ryan Ripken. Because, yes, I'm breaking out numbers. Because you need to break out numbers to tell your side of the story. Now, numbers tell a lot of the story. They can be deceiving, as you know, oftentimes. But hey, to borrow a word from Dan Connolly, nothing nebulous about this. First half, .276, 16 homers, 12 doubles, 59 ribbies, OPS, .780, starting catcher, all-star game, rightfully so. Second half, let's see here, .207, batting average. This is the mind-boggling one, I guess. On-base percentage went from .340 to .282, only hit three homers, nine doubles. So it was a tale of two halves. One was great, one was... I mean, you're like a below average offensive player right now. So what happened there and what should we expect here? Was that just a blind squirrel opening day, or are we expecting to see more of what we've come to know from Adley Rutschman, which is a hitting catcher, as you pointed out many times?
Yeah, I mean, I think that first off, Adley Rutschman is like a different beast on opening day. You know, that's not just this year. He did it in Boston, too, a couple of years or 3 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah. Right? So the dude just loves opening day baseball. But overall, I think that Adley's going to have a solid year. You mentioned earlier about, or you and Nolan, that Cedric Mullins had it working against him, that he had that big year of that 30 home run year, 30-30, all of that. I wonder at times with Adley, is because he was the number one overall pick and because he was deemed as the face to change the program and change the whole franchise and how they're going to be, and that he was supposed to be the next great catcher, that I wonder then if people's expectations for what his numbers would be as a hitter would be too lofty. Like since he's been the big league so far, he hasn't eclipsed more than 20 home runs in a season. So, look, and for a catcher, hitting 20 home runs is really good. Hitting .277, having an OPS above .800, it's really good for a catcher. But I wonder at times, and maybe Nolan, Bob, you guys have a thought with this, but I do wonder is if fans expected, well, he's this great hitting catcher, we're expecting 30 home runs, and for him to be one of the best players we have seen in this generation.
Maybe a little bit, but I also think that, you know, he was the first to come up. You're right about that. It didn't shake him when he first got up here. They started winning immediately from the first day he was here. And they never looked back there in 2022. And then once the Gunners arrived in Westberg, and the list goes on and on and on, well, now the pressure's being taken off of him. He's not just the sole guy. It's the entire group that's being celebrated as the next wave coming up. I don't know if the pressure was really there for him in that way of like your traditional number one overall pick, like in the NFL when a quarterback has to be the savior and come in and win right away. I don't think that was the case here. Not saying you're wrong, though, because it is important to remember with catchers, you know, around the league, numbers are much different. So where he ends up going in his career, when he does make that transition beyond catcher, does that change things, expectations?
Well, let me ask you this. and this is for our audience too. Matt Wieters came in.
That's exactly where I was going to go with
you know
this.
What I mean? With his big hype and, you know, and he played on a bunch of crap teams, not his fault, but, you know, made the All-Star team three times, had a really good career, won a couple Gold Gloves, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, if Adley Rutschman turns out to be Wieters, and he was 1-1, and we've already heard, hey, second pick, Bobby Witt Jr., you know what I mean? A future MVP-level guy. He was in that conversation last year, as a matter of fact. Does Adley have to be at least Wieters, or because he was the first pick in a draft that was strong, that not even, he's got to be beyond that and then some?
Yeah, I just, where I was going with that is because of the Wieters comps, right? And Wieters, if I was looking at this correctly, I don't think Wieters had more than 23 jacks in a year. So that's where I was going with it. It's not that I feel that there's too much pressure on Adley's plate. I thought last year was a combination of adversity, being banged up, and then all of a sudden you have to be one of the leaders to help your team get back on track. And for Adley and the rest of the group, that was a struggle with all the injuries. I think that was fair to say. That's a foregone conclusion. But for moving forward, when we say a healthy Adley Rutschman, and you sit there and go, well, what does that entail? Is that going to be an MVP? Well, when you're looking at an MVP's numbers, and for catching, it's different. I just think when they say about a hitting catcher, we see Adley on opening day, he could hit 30, but more than likely he might not go over 20 to 25 home runs ever in his career, even if he does make the switch. So that's where I have the perception side. But do I think he's still one of the premier catchers in the game? Absolutely. And I mean, the rest of Major League Baseball agrees if you go around and talk to GMs.
Well, it's not just home runs. I mean, you don't have to hit 30 home runs to be considered a great hitter at your position. I mean, his rookie year, he was a doubles machine. And I actually thought that that was going to turn into more homers, kind of like a Manny Machado thing. He was a doubles machine early in his career and then, you know, really refined the swing and got more power, and those turned into home runs. I'll take anything. I mean, if he's going to be a doubles machine, that's great. He doesn't need to be a 30 homer guy. I think there's no doubt in my mind he'll be better offensively than Wieters was over his career, but he won't be as good defensively. I mean, Adley's never going to sniff a gold.
And I was just going to ask you that. I mean, two Gold Gloves for Wieters, four All-Star appearances, all in Baltimore. Then he went to Washington and St. Louis. I mean, he was his last game, he's 34 years old when he finished the career, and got a couple bucks in the bank. You know, Matt Wieters is fine.
Yeah.
But I mentioned Bobby Witt. Is that now something that Adley's... Oh, yeah, that guy?
Yeah, I don't think he's worried. I don't think he's worried about Bobby Witt Jr., although everyone can think, well, what could have been? But I would argue, you know, maybe the Orioles don't have the rebuild and they get to this point without Adley. But when you look at what Bobby Witt Jr. has become in Kansas City, and you wonder, you know, what could have been with Bobby Witt Jr., and maybe you still draft Gunner. I don't know. But the one part I want to say with catchers, and this was the case last year at least, only one catcher OPS, because we're talking now, it's not just about homers, right? We're talking about getting on base, hitting for extra base hits. Home runs obviously help the OPS go up because it's slugging, on base percentage, whatever. Only one qualified catcher was over 800 OPS last year. So when you put it in that context of it, there's still such a huge premium for what Adley does. That was William Contreras, by the way, for the Brewers. So the context of it, catchers have to deal with a lot more, and maybe it does change if Adley does change positions, but for the next 3 to 5 years, he's going to be behind the dish, and a lot is going to be on him to help command that pitching staff.
410-583-1057, it's the number. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw will come back, take your phone calls. You want to get in, talk about the Birds taking on Toronto. 705 first pitch, Orioles 5-8, 1-2 at home. Last place, American League East, got your AL East report coming up around 1:15. Let's see, Sagano, 1-1, 289. Tomoyuki Sagano, 1-1, 289 against Bowden Francis. Toronto, 8-6 on the year, 3-4 on the road. They did just take 3 out of 4. From the Boston Red Sox, John Mioli from the Baltimore Banner will be joining us at 1:30. I haven't talked to him in a while. We'll come back, talk about Jackson Holliday. And how about this scenario? They draft Bobby Witt Jr. Is Jackson Holliday even an Oriole at this point in time? Obviously, talk Ravens. And then pop culture will become part of our reality, too.
Oh, hey now.
Like, Nolan, have you ever seen Jaws before, for instance?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, perfect.
You know, the shark dies at the end, right?
Yeah, it blows up.
No, that's very... Jaws 2.
Yeah, he shoots the air canister or whatever.
Yeah. Jaws 2, he eats the electric, the power line underwater. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Have you seen the movie?
I have. About like 1,000 times. I saw it at the Broadway Theater when I was like 11.
Based on a true story, too. Bob was there.
That's right.
Bob was the shark.
I was Quint. Look at me, resilient. Hey, you can't eat me. Bite me in half. I'll make it happen. But, yeah, we'll get into pop culture, all sorts of things that are appropriate to your Friday heading into the weekend. And we'll get to Gunnar Henderson next hour. And, of course, Jim Palmer was on the Ryan Ripken show. Going to hear from Cakes. You know, but arguably, you can make a case, he's the greatest Oriole of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Gold gloves, all-stars, 3 rings. I mean, you can do it. There's a strong argument that he could be inch for inch, pound for pound, the best Oriole ever.
And longest tenured, though, with as far as being with the Orioles organization. You know, I don't think that's the second to none, right?
Over 60 years.
60 years with one club.
Damn.
It's crazy to think, right? And also male model, for those that didn't know as well. He did those jockey ads back in the day. But Jim, that interview was fun. We're going to talk about it, I know, in the next segment. Still sharp as ever, can recall a moment from 30, 40 years ago, but understanding pitching, because that's the one thing that we're going to talk about moving forward is the pitching side for Jim. He has such great points and advice about what to do because he was one of the best to ever do it.
Speaking of which, we had a caller earlier here on the show, brought up Jesus Luzardo. Drafted, and you know him personally, of course, because Nats organization and in Florida, became a dude. Ton of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But the Phillies made a move, an aggressive one to get him. And we've talked a lot about Garrett Crochet, like, why aren't you kicking the tires? And you said, hey, they wanted the left side of the menu. The White Sox did from Mike Elias, and obviously he was reluctant to do so. But why no Jesus Luzardo, who's off to a very fine start for Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, that was the guy, actually, when we're looking at pitchers in Miami. Now, last year, when it comes to the trade deadline, you know, Jesus was hurt. They weren't going to move him. But it felt like if a guy was going to be available, here's this lefty that just has this electric arm, can throw well, but it's under the radar. But he's got wipeout stuff. You know, so I thought when the Phillies got him, I said, oh, no. I said, I'm sorry for the NL East, because if he stays healthy, he is going to be a very dominant force on a very dominant team. I think the Phillies are going to be really good. And so that was one. But you know what it makes me also think, guys? Did the Orioles get soured at all after that deal? You know, because that was a lot they had to give up for Trevor Rogers. In some cases, when a deal goes wrong, and I've had a chance to talk to some MLB executives, sometimes when deals go wrong working with teams, it can make you a little less reluctant to go back to that well.
Yeah, and I mean, if we know what they gave up for Rodgers, and at the time when that trade went down, I mean, people were not happy. Said, how could you give up Norby and Stowers for, even though those guys are going to be blocked, how could you give up prospects of their ranking for Rodgers, who was a project, let's be honest. I mean, you had to kind of fix him when he got here.
He was a descending player.
The only thing that rubs me the wrong way about not getting a Luzardo, as Bob made the good point earlier in the show, is that he still has another full year of control. So Phillies, Orioles, whoever's trading for him, you could take that calculated risk and say, all right, even if 2025 ends up being kind of a lost year for him where he's not healthy the entire year and there are some growing pains to get back into it, we still have 2026, and we didn't really give up a lot to get him.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm looking at this, the trade details with that, because the Marlins, they end up getting the Phillies' number 4 prospect in Starlin Cabba, and then outfield prospect Amarion Boyd. So that's the number 4, number 23 in their organization, right? And if I'm looking at this, and Miami's in a different position. They don't need necessarily guys to win now, right? You know, Norby and Stowers, they were ready, but they don't necessarily need that. So they're looking at their roster of building forward. That's where I kind of thought with the Orioles. Well, they have guys that maybe are a couple years away. And we talk about the outfielders that they have specifically. They have a ton of those outfielders that are might be blocked in Baltimore if they don't make a different move in the future. So, Jesus, and look, I know he's dealt with arm issues, and I think fair to say we all understand when you make a move for a pitcher, you are going to have to live up to the risk that comes with that. That's the association. But Jesus Luzardo is definitely that guy, because I was watching him again last night or whenever he pitched last, Bob. I was watching the highlights of him, and I'm sitting there going, dang, this is the guy that I remember with the Nats drafting, the guy that was traded over to the A's, and he looks like he's going to be, to me, I think he's going to be an all-star. That's how much I like him. But everyone has their reasons. And for Baltimore, they didn't think it was the right fit.
And Trevor Rogers, if memory serves, when the reports were coming out that the Orioles were getting him, it was Kyle Stowers. Okay. He blocked.
Yeah.
No room at the inn for Kyle Stowers here in Baltimore. And then I'm Team Norby. Connor Norby, he was thrown in, if you want to call it that. He's hurt right now trying to, you know, rehab, get himself back to the Major League roster. I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of a steep price. Trevor Rogers was an All-Star's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's been kind of snowballing downhill. Then was terrible when he pitched for the Orioles. Maybe stabilized when he went back to Norfolk. And that dislocated his kneecap here. So as he's kind of fallen off, if you will, should we still keep him in the back of the mind as a guy that maybe in the second half of the season, as we're crossing fingers for Bradish, et cetera, that maybe Trevor Rogers could be the savior when it's all said and done?
Yeah, we're knowing what you got.
Well, who's ahead of him? It's Kyle Gibson. If Kyle Gibson doesn't work, all right, let's give it a go. Unless Chase McDermott's ready before then. Now, obviously, you're pretty high on him. You like what his upside is. But, yeah, I mean, those are the names. He's in the mix. If they suffer any more injuries, he'll probably get a chance.
And you guys want to guess what injury Trevor Rogers had to deal with back in 2022 and 2023?
A broken heart.
Well, that's the hardest.
Were hurt.
Some say that's the hardest thing to heal, Nolan. But remember I mentioned lat issue.
Oh.
Partial tear in a lat strain the year before that. So lat strain in 2022, partial tear in his right lat the next year in 2023. And didn't we talk about yesterday that lats are so tricky and it can lead to different issues? That's kind of been the case for me watching Rogers. And when I saw that and I'm learning more, I go, that makes so much sense. How is a guy that was so good his rookie year continuing to not find that form? Well, being banged up, having to change things up, and not being able to find that form because of certain injury, that's a little worrisome. But to your point, Nolan, depth-wise, he's one of the next men up when he is healthy once again.
Yeah, and D.L. Hall, who was shipped to Milwaukee in the Burns trade, dealing with, you guessed it, a lat. The 60-day IL. We'll come back, hear from Jim Palmer, who was on the Ryan Ripken show, and we'll talk about that. American League East report at 1:15. Orioles taking on the Blue Jays tonight, weather permitting, 7:05. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. John Mioli from the Baltimore Banner, get his impressions of the 5-8 Orioles. Where is all the offense gone?